A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. And Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. True greatness can only be found in the service of others. I'll say it again. True greatness can only be found in the service of others. Today is the 92nd World Mission Sunday, and I thought I would share a few thoughts on mission in terms of the mission of Christ himself, the mission of the church, and you and I as church and individuals, our own mission. In today's gospel, we have an interesting story. The two disciples, James and John, being so ambitious, ask the Lord for a special favor. And it's interesting how they ask. "We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Very presumptuous. And Jesus says, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And then they say what it is they want. That when you come in glory, when you take over, when you become really the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we want to be right next to you. One on the right and one on the left. They are thinking of what all people think about in terms of greatness, which is wealth, power, authority, control, all those things. And Jesus says to them, no, because you see, I have just finished telling you that the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem to die. And now you're telling me about being great. No. And so he tells them, can you drink the cup that I must drink? They don't quite understand the meaning. All they want is first and second place. So, yes, of course. Will you be baptized as I'm baptized? Yes, of course. He's talking about the cup of suffering, the pain that he would have to endure. And therefore, if they want to be close to him, they would have to endure the same. They don't have that in mind at all. All they have in mind is authority, power, wealth, position. And I suppose, in a sense too, to lord it over others, to be in control. Today, dear friends, as Jesus speaks to them, he reminds them he's going to Jerusalem because he understood his mission. So let me speak first about the mission of the Lord, the Christ himself. What we know is that he was sent. God sent his son. They call him Jesus. God sent him. And he being sent on mission, because that's what mission is, to be sent. He goes in all humility to fulfill not his will, but the Father's will. He was sent. That day when Mary was told, you will be the mother of Jesus. And it began then. And he became a human person. Why? So that we, the whole world, might have life, might be saved. So that is the very first act of God, to send the Son of God into the world. And Jesus understands his mission. If you heard the first reading, it's about someone who is suffering. Through his suffering, many will come to know God. And as you know, he comes being born in a stable. He wasn't born in a palace, in a stable. And he walked the dirt roads of Palestine, preaching a message of repentance, a message of hope, a message of forgiveness, a message of life. And then, conscious of his mission, he describes his mission to us. Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, for he has anointed me. By now you know it by heart. What's the next line? He sent me to bring the good news to the poor. Finish again. To set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind. Oh, he says, that's my mission. That is why I'm sent. I am sent for this, to preach the good news to everyone, especially to those who might not be likely to hear it, to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the downtrodden free, to remove those in dungeon and captivity that they can have freedom of life, and to remind everyone that no matter what is happening, God is still there. That was how he explained his mission, Luke chapter 4. And then further on, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's telling you who he is and what he's sent to do, his mission. He said, I am the good shepherd. And with each of those words, there's a whole understanding of what he is sent to do. Clearly, the good shepherd, he says, is the one who lays down his life for his sheep. I have not come to overpower them and to control them, but I have come to serve them. So I am coming, this is my mission, to lay down my life for my people. And therein lies my greatness, because I'm understanding that I'm serving you. I am the vine, he says, and you are the branches. And you will have life because you stay hooked on me. Because I am life-giving. He says further, I am the resurrection and the life. Even when you die, I will give you life again. That is his mission. And ultimately, he says it very plainly, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. So he understood his mission. He walked humbly. He suffered terribly. At the hands of his friends and his foes. Remember Peter, remember Judas. And he continued. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Through his suffering, My servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. So that's it. His mission was to come and be life-giving to others. True greatness can only be found in the service of others. And now I come, dear friends, to the mission of the church. Consequent to God sending the Son, God Father and Son sent the Spirit. You remember, on that first day of Pentecost, when they were huddled together, and the church was born because the Spirit came and shook them up, literally shook them up. But even before that, as we read the New Testament, the Gospels, what we hear is Jesus sending the 12 on mission. That is what mission means, to be sent. So Jesus sent the 12, two by two. You remember very well, he says, don't take any excess baggage. Just go with the word and teach the word and preach the word and cure and so forth. And then further than that, he sends out 72, meaning a large group. Again with the similar instructions, go out two by two, lean on each other, because times will be hard. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. So be prepared. Don't think you will be readily accepted by everyone. Be prepared. So hold on to each other and lean on each other. And as you go, preach the word. The very same mission that he had, he said, preach the word. And then he said, open their eyes, open their hearts, preach repentance so that they can come and receive salvation. So he sent them out. And as we hear towards the end of the gospel, after the resurrection, he appears to the apostles and he breathes on them and says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And now at the end of Matthew's gospel, what we call the Great Commission, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything that I have taught you. Make disciples. They are sent on mission. The church is born and the church goes out. To be sent is to be an apostle to serve, not to serve oneself, but to serve others, to serve man and woman. So the 12 went out, the 72 went out, and now as we continue the New Testament, we have Paul going out, and Barnabas going out, and Titus and Timothy, and all these others who understood their mission. Now that the church is born, they go on mission. And I can say that the church not only has a mission, but the church is mission. What makes church church is mission. The church is mission. And so, over the years, the church has sent missionaries throughout the world, all the continents. People who give their lives, not for power, not for prestige, not for wealth, but for service. And so, many years ago, the Capuchins came here to our own country, and the Jesuits too, and the Redemptorists. And the Père de Chavagne, the priest that we call the FMIs. And the Holy Cross, the missionaries of St. Francis de Sales. And what about the nuns? All those lovely Belgian nuns. The canonesses of St. Augustine, now called the ICM sisters. Later on, the Daughters of Jesus, the Sisters of Charity, Presentation Sisters, Carmelite Sisters, and the Congregation of Christian Brothers, to which I belong for many years. And lay people as well. And if I talk about what happened here, you can think of what happened in Africa, in Asia, and Oceania, throughout the world. Missionaries were sent. So that now in every continent you have bishops, you have priests, you have religious men and women, you have lay missionaries, you have catechists in every continent, seminarians. But more than that, dear friends, you also have health care. That is done by the Catholic Church. You may know that the Catholic Church has the largest range of healthcare in the world. And you have service to education. That's all part of the mission. And you have service to those who are elderly and disadvantaged, orphanages. That is all part of the mission of the church. The missionary activity of the church throughout the world is indeed Christ's mission. The Spirit of God is on the church. And now the church goes forth, first to preach the good news. So you have men and women who consecrate themselves and dedicate themselves just to that, to bring the word of God to the nations of the world. And then to open the eyes of the blind. I have just mentioned education. You and I both know, my dear friends, what an important role the church has played in education in our own country here. Cannot be denied up to today. And that is so throughout the world. To set the downtrodden free, you and I also both know what an important role the church has played in healthcare, here and abroad. All the hospitals that the church runs. Release from bondage. You know how, of course, the church promotes the dignity and the integral development of every human being. All of the Catholic Church social teaching is about that. About the human person and his and her development. So today, on World Mission Sunday, it's a chance to reflect on who we are and be proud of who we are as church. And to thank God for the numerous men and women who have given their lives in mission. Not for power, not for prestige, not for wealth, not for authority, but for service. And that brings me then to the last point, which is the mission of you and me and how it applies to you and me here and now. We don't live in America, we live here in Dominica. Today is Heritage Day in Portsmouth. We don't live in Portsmouth, we live here in Newtown and King's Hill and all the parts of the parish. What does it mean for me to be a missionary here among my own people? That, my dear friends, is the challenge. If you understand it, you'll say to yourself, yes, I am on mission. By virtue of my baptism, I'm sent. I don't know if you hear it, but at the end of every Mass, the last is a send-off, and it's a send-off on mission. I have various options. I can say to you, go forth. The Mass is ended. Where am I sending you forth to? Back to your community to continue to preach the word, to open the eyes of the blind, and to do all that you're supposed to do as a missionary. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, says we're not only disciples of Jesus Christ, we are missionary disciples. The other option I have, of course, is to say to you, go and announce the gospel of the Lord. And that is very direct. I don't know if you hear it. I don't know if you take it seriously or not. But that is what the priest says. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. And you know, dear friends, the announcing is not necessarily by word only, but especially by the example of our lives. Preach the gospel by the way you live. And the other one, of course, is go in peace, glorifying God by your lives. They all speak about mission. They all speak about mission because from our baptism we share in the priesthood of Christ. And therefore each Christian's life is a sacrifice. Each Christian is on mission. And as Paul says in Galatians 3, he says, in Christ there is no distinction between Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female. In Christ, we're all one. And if I understand my mission, then I don't make excuses. I don't say like Jeremiah, I'm too young. Today, we're delighted to have our young people proclaiming the word for us, doing the commentary. They're not too young. They're on mission as well. None of us is too young. Or to make the excuse that, well, I can't speak too well. You can speak well. well enough, if you have the gospel in your heart, no matter how you say it, they will understand it. We make other excuses. I have no time. If you don't have time, well, I'm sorry for you. Because all your time belongs to God. All of your time belongs to God. So as a missionary, as I understand it now, I can never make excuses and say, I don't have the time, or I don't like working there. You see Newtown? That's where we are. That's our mission field. Wall House, that's your mission field. Castle Comfort, that is your mission field. King's Hill, that is your mission field. Bellevue, all the part, Girardelle, all the part of our community. Wherever you live, that is your mission field. You are meant to be an agent empowered to represent Christ. And not only empowered to represent him, but commissioned to represent him within your community. You know what happens in your community. The people that you speak to are troubled by drugs and violence. They're troubled by hunger and hate. In their hearts, in their hands, in their stomachs, and on their lips. These are the people. That is our field of mission. We pass them each day on the streets, and sometimes we don't even bother to greet them. But we are told we mediate the life, the love, and the forgiveness of Christ. And that is how we'll be counted as great. True greatness can only be found in the service of others. James and John did not know that. In their head was authority, power, wealth, position. And Jesus quickly corrected them. And at the end he says, because the Son of Man, taking himself as the example, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And you are my disciple. You want people to serve you? Stop it. There's no place for that. If you are my disciple, it's not about being served, but rather serving. You have to learn to put your ambition aside and serve your brothers and sisters. I remind you, dear friends, that Jesus had just finished telling them that he was going to die. You can't understand how they could have missed that. The culmination of his mission, to go to Jerusalem and give his life on the cross for them. And they're talking about wealth and power and authority. How we can so often miss the point. How we can so often miss the point to think that greatness is truly possessions and power and prestige. How we can truly miss the point to think that greatness is how much money I have, or how many degrees I have behind my name, or how tall I stand, and how much property I own. How often, my dear friends, we miss the point. And Jesus again today says to us, the mission of the church, your mission and mine, is to serve. It's service. 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 So the mission of Christ, as we have seen on this Mission Sunday, as he was sent, he said, I'm doing it. And the ultimate service was to give his life totally, that you and I might have life. To give his life, that we might have life. And the mission of the church is exactly the same. We don't have to tell you again how many missionaries have died for the faith. How many missionaries were killed in line of duty. How many left home and land and family to come here. I was sharing with somebody recently. I said, when the early missionaries from Belgium came here, many of them could hardly speak a word of English. I think I remember Father Charles Vermeulen telling me, you know, he arrived on the Saturday, the next day he had to preach. He had no words in English. But he preached. Masaf Saidi may preach. The fact is, the missionary zeal was there. And he could have said, well, I can't say anything, so I won't say anything. But I know that he went that Sunday and he preached. I don't know what he said, and I don't know what people understood, but he preached. And that is the suffering that many have gone through and still go through. But they know the mission, to preach the good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the downtrodden free. And that, dear friends, is the challenge that you and I have today. We don't have the time to go through the statistics in terms of how many priests there are and how many Catholics there are and how many minor seminarians there are and how many major seminarians there are, both religious and how many hospitals are done by the church and how many, all of these things we can find out. All I say to you is, consider today a day to be proud of your mission by virtue of your baptism. And embrace that mission with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, following the example of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Amen.